Good morning. It's Thursday, September the 22nd, and you've tuned into the KRFY Morning Show right here on Panhandle Community Radio, 88.5 KRFY. I'm Lonesome Jack in the studio this morning without a co-host, but we do have a couple of guests in with us from the Sandpoint Community Resource Center. Dave Peets and Rich Kretal, the founders of SCRC, who will be talking about that founding and also their upcoming Souptember event. But before I jump into conversation with them, let's talk a little bit about the weather. Today is a little bit of a windy one out there. Scattered showers mainly before 11 a.m. It'll be mostly cloudy today and a high near 62. It does feel like that September weather. Northeast wind of 13 to 16 miles an hour with gusts as high as 23 miles an hour today. The chance of precipitation is about 30%. New precipitation amounts of less than a tenth of an inch, though. Tonight, mostly cloudy and then patchy fog with a low down to about 46 degrees. Tomorrow, patchy fog starting the day and then partly sunny in the afternoon with a high near 64. Partly cloudy tomorrow night with a low of about 44 degrees. Saturday, though, sunny with a high near 65. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 42. And Sunday might be sunny and get up to almost 70 degrees again. And then into next week, even warmer temperatures, highs near 73 on Monday and Tuesday. So hang in there. Summer might be coming back. But for now, it does feel kind of like fall. It's what my mother would call soup weather, I think. And with that, why don't we turn to Rich and Dave, who can tell us a little bit about something called Souptember. Dave, what is Souptember?
Well, I will say that this is a event that we're doing Friday, tomorrow, September 23rd, from 5 to 8 p.m. at Farman Park. If you're downtown in the area, there's several other events going on, but we'd like you to stop by. We have invited area restaurants to come with their favorite soup to have there to offer to people that attend this event. You taste your soup, different soups, and you decide which you like the best, and you vote, and we will award we have this golden ladle that we'll award to the best soup maker. We have 11 restaurants that have indicated they'll be coming, so we should have a great time for everybody. There'll be an auction with some great prizes. We have music, also a raffle, and refreshments. So that's the basic scenario.
Do they each get their own like booth? Do you kind of walk up to them, or do you go up to one place and say, I want to try Ivano's soup today?
Yeah, there'll be tables with each participant. Will have a container there with the soup in it. But yeah, it'll be set up so you can go from one table to another and just around the park there and check out the different soups.
Do you want to give us the list, the rundown? Who's going to be?
Yeah,
there?
I think this is pretty correct. Trinity, Dish, Loaf and Ladle, Baxter's, Spuds, Sky's the Limit, Catering, Tango Cafe, The Pie Hut, Ivano's, Winter Ridge, and Jalapenos.
And, well, that's a ton of soup. Is anyone going to be able to try all 10 or 11 of those soups?
If that's whatever your capacity is, that's okay. What you can do, I suppose. Yeah.
Starve myself before I go down there, I guess.
Sure.
Maybe we can fit it all in.
Right.
It sounds delicious. Have they been Are they working on special soups, or are these going to be soups you can find on the menu? Do you know?
I'm not sure about each restaurant, but I would think they would be something they would offer in a restaurant. Yeah.
So you can get a little, yeah, get a little sample of sure. the kind of food you can expect if you go down to the restaurant. And it all goes to benefit the Sandpoint Community Resource Center.
That's correct. Yeah. All the proceeds will go to our operations and some funding that we need for SCRC, Sandpoint Community Resource Center. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's turn to Rich, and maybe you can tell us a little bit more about the SCRC and how it got started.
Well, I think we need to add one thing to Dave's comments there is we have a beer garden also that will be available at Soup Timber.
Yeah.
And you could come in and get beer, get wine, and you can have that. And you're going to have the availability to get some bread also. So it's going to be kind of a neat affair to come down and basically walk around and sample your soups and have a beer, have a wine, something that maybe mom and dad can do after getting home from work. You can bring the kids. It's going to be a family thing. So it's just not adults. You can be, it's a family affair to come to Soup Timber. And we're hoping to have this as an annual event, Jack.
And this is the first one.
Yes.
Tomorrow from...
This is the first annual.
Yeah. tomorrow from 5 to 8 p.m. And it's at Farman Park.
Right.
There you go. What the Sandpoint Community Resource Center, I think you guys have both been on the station, but not in this capacity, as far as I know. So what is the Sandpoint Community Resource Center, if people aren't familiar?
Well, Jack, we started back in 2009, and Dave and I were involved with the church at that time. We tried to help some people. We got caught up in the provider tree type thing. You call one provider asking for help. That provider says, we don't do that. So they send you to another provider, ta-da, 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 ta-da. It's kind of like grandma says, we're going to make cookies out of scratch. They send the kid to the church or to the store to get scratch, and you can't buy scratch. And so at this particular point, we didn't have any scratch to work with. So consequently, we got to the point we said, okay, there's got to be a better way to run a railroad. And so over the period of time, we began putting things together. Dave and I started getting some agencies together written down on a yellow pad. Probably by 10, we went ahead and we got a cell phone. And then from that period of time, Dave and I would carry the cell phone and a yellow pad, and we would help people as much as we could. We kept working and we got incorporated. We got our 501c3, that all came through in 10, got the bylaws all in 10. And then finally in 2013, I believe was the first year that we actually did business as SCRC, I think, Dave.
Right. Yeah. We had a full year of operation in 2013, then 2014. 2015, we started out the first year serving 32 clients. Then we went to 156 in 2014 and 303 in 2015. And our 2016 rate so far will be on track with last year's or more, we hope.
Wow. What kind of people are you serving? Who do you...
Well, Jack, it's people who are in need. We bridge the gap between people in need and those who serve. And we have 300 or more providers on our database. So those providers tell us exactly what their agency does. Okay. For an example, we have agency A and let's say the cancer agency, and they help people with cancer. And so consequently, if we have a person coming in that has just gotten cancer that needs help or something like that, we'll refer them to the cancer agency. We get a direct contact. They don't have to start looking around the whole city to find out who helps with cancer. We help the people who really need help. When we put up our database, we also put up a reporting capability so we can report how many people call us and why they and what their requests are. the major requests in the last 3 years has been housing. Everybody needs housing. We do not have a rental market here. The rental market here in Sandpoint is extremely tight. And so to find housing for low-income folks, it gets to be very difficult. The second one is financial assistance, and that's a general financial assistance. Just somebody that says, will call up and say, hey, you know, I'm trying to get into a house. I can pay the deposit, but I can't pay my first month's rent or something like that. We try to find agencies who have capital that's available that we can help them to do that. Or they need money to maybe try and fix a truck or something so they can get to work. And then the third highest course is financial assistance, and that's for rent. We have, in addition to that, probably five or six other areas that is the most interesting thing is that food is the very bottom of the requests.
Hmm.
Interesting, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Because you would think that food would be right up there, but food is right now the lesser of the requests. And I think that goes to show us that we have the Bonner County Food Bank,
mm-hmm.
and they do an excellent, excellent job of helping folks there. We have people that do fundraisings that do for food for the Bonner County Food Bank, and a lot of the stores will give food and that type of a thing. So that's basically what we do, Jack. Like Dave said, we had 300 and some last year, and we're on track. We probably will approach the 400 mark this year.
Mm-hmm.
We just boomed in 15, and I can't tell you why, but it just took off.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, we're just a tad behind what our numbers were last year, but it always spikes in September,
mm-hmm.
November, and December, right in there. This last quarter, we will spike very heavily in helping people.
Sure. It is surprising that food isn't high on the list, but as you mentioned, yeah, the food bank does a good job. I'm not entirely surprised to find out that housing is that first one in this area. We are kind of in a crisis as far as that goes. We could talk about that all day. Go ahead, Dave. What were you going to say?
Yeah. Also, yeah, Rich covered it very well on the different categories. Utilities is a large category to
right.
people,
sure.
and particularly for utilities in the winter season, which is approaching. We get calls, and you know, the resource center is a referral service, and we refer to all these different agencies. We do cover both Bonner and Boundary counties. We've developed over a period of time a closer relationship with the service providers that we have. Richard mentioned our 300 or so service providers. Actually, this spring, we had a symposium where we invited all the service providers, and we got feedback from them on what categories, what issues they had, and we identified some key problems, like transportation is one problem. It is significant, people getting
yeah.
medical help in Coeur d'Alene or Spokane, you know, people traveling from Bonner's Ferry to Sandpoint, that kind of thing. We also, housing, we talked about housing, particularly for women, is a difficult issue for people. But as time goes on, we are working with the service providers. We're helping them to work together. We have space in our offices, so one office that they can meet and go over issues. So we encourage them to look at their common goals and share and work to make the, you know, their category better.
Yeah. So you guys are kind of, I mean, if somebody... what a valuable service you're providing, because I mean, there's a number of people who need help with rent, but they might need help from different people, depending on if they're their age group, or depending on if they're a single person, or if they're part of a family, depending on their health mm-hmm. status, if they're a veteran, all sorts. I mean, different agencies would come into play depending on the individual. and you can help point to the right.
Right.
In the right direction.
Also, people will come in with more than one problem. You know, a lot of times they'll, they'll need utility money. Maybe they need something fixed at their place. So we've had calls from particularly sometimes women out in the rural areas that need help with repairs on their property. So we know a place for them to go. I mean, a place to get help.
I think the interesting thing here, Jack, would be where do we get our clients from, and then what clients do we actually serve? And we get 2% of our clients would be previous people that we've helped, okay, over the years. Now, these numbers have changed since when we started, okay? 6% of those are just actually on the internet, and they search us. We have a website. And they can search us. We have what we call help, self-help in that area. So you could go to our website and you could look and see a self-help area. And at that particular point, you can get help if you want to go direct. Advertisement, we have 6% coming in. 16% is from a friend. Jack, you recommend somebody, hey, Jack, you know, you go see Sandpoint Resource Center, they'll help you. 55% now is coming from our service providers. And that tells us that we are educating our service providers to help and to make call to us. And then they get the information and they can pass it on to their client. A lot of doctors. We have the hospital calling us consistently to get people to help. We have other agencies. Of those that we get, 9% of those are veterans. So we help veterans. And at this particular point, we just put up a new website, and the new website has a nice area there for veterans, and we've got some areas that they can go to get help. 26% are on disability. 26%. 34 are employed or unemployed that need help some way or another. If we find families who have never had to have help before, but because of the economy today, they need help to get something done either in the in their life that they can help with the kids or, you know, kind of like getting your backpack so that you can go to school. That's one of the programs that comes through. And so that's one of the important things that we do is to help those folks, okay? 62% are families with dependents, with kids, okay? And that's a lot because people are saying, hey, you know, the costs of today, we can't do everything that we needed to do. We need some help. And they either need help with either clothes or they need help in getting some transportation. They need help in getting the backpacks or they get help there. And this is where we're able to direct them to help them so that they know where to go and how to get some help for themselves. And that's the reason we say we bridge the gap.
Yeah.
To help people, what we do.
Is there a story behind what made you guys put this whole thing together back in 2009 or 10?
Well, yeah, it is, Jack. We tried to help some people through the church, and to be honest with you, we got caught up, like I said, in the provider tree.
Yeah.
And that's when we decided there's a better way to run a railroad. So Dave and I started out again, like I said, with a yellow pad. We got a cell phone. We started carrying that. In fact, it was kind of interesting because we started out, David carried for a week. I'd carried for a week. And then pretty soon we got to the point, well, you carried for 2 weeks. And Dave says, I got to go out of town. So I'd carried for 2 weeks or whatever. And that's how we started. Okay. So basically two guys with a cell phone and a yellow pad. That's the way we started.
And you were the Sandpoint Community Resource.
We were Sandpoint Community. Well, actually, we actually started out as the Resource Center.
Yeah.
And then as we went on, we were serving Sandpoint. And of course, like Dave says, we serve Bonner and Boundary County. So we thought, well, to bring the community in, we changed our name to Sandpoint Community Resource Center at that point. And then went ahead and officially changed our name with the Secretary of State so that we could have the community in there. So it was now, it was a community thing. I think one other thing that might be interesting, and I'm going to leave one of these with you, Jack, is that just recently we put out a resource directory. It's a resource directory that has all sorts of information for people inside. And you at the radio station here, you know, you could say, if somebody calls you and you said, oh, domestic violence and abuse and sexual assault and trafficking, you could open up the door or open up the page here and you could sell. Mm-hmm. Here's where we have people that can help to do that. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's an easy way to do that.
It's a nice little book there.
Yeah.
About a pocket sized little, resource directory.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is.
A handsome volume, shall we say.
And that's something that you can do. We're handing those out to people wherever we can. We're putting them in there. The other thing is, and I think, Dave, that maybe, and I don't want to take it all the time here, but, you know, so far we have what we call a little postcard. Mm-hmm. And the postcard that we have is a little postcard that's about the size of the directory there. And we have that postcard in all of the police cars, all the sheriff's deputies' cars. We have them in all the ambulances and all of the EMT trucks. Mm-hmm. And so if there is an accident or there is some kind of a disaster and the family needs help, the attendants or the officers or whoever is involved with this particular event will hand this to them and say, go to the resource center. They will help you.
Do you guys have a headquarters? Do you have a building now?
Yes.
Yeah.
We're located, excuse me, at 231 North 3rd Avenue. We have it's right next to Farman Park, just to the south of Farman Park. We have a downstairs office that is primarily for walk-in clients or for our volunteers that men or women, mm-hmm. men and women both, mm-hmm. Take care of the phones, the calls from the client. So we have that first floor office. And then, as I mentioned earlier, we have an office where we have place for people to meet, like we mentioned the service providers can come and have meetings, and we do our administrative work. We have our database people, and we use outside help for the database too, which is good. But 231 North 3rd Avenue, Suite 101 is the office to come in. We have a phone number that they can call, and 208 area code 920-1840. That's the call that they can connect with us. Or as Rich mentioned, they can get on our website, which is simply www.sandpointcommunityresource.com. I would say that we have been asked by our board, other board members, we've mutually are in a search for more volunteers to help with the resource center work. We have an advisory board of people with different skills and different backgrounds, and we would invite people in the community that feel connected to come by and talk with us, and we can I think we can help them do some areas for us, because we need help.
Yeah. Would this be like answering that phone, answering that hotline? Yeah,
yes, that would be part of it. And there's other jobs in the database area and fundraising. I work with fundraising myself, so I know that there's we have a variety of needs and areas where people with skills and connections can help us. Yeah.
I think also along with the volunteer, Jack, is that, like Dave says, we need people to answer the telephone, people to come in, and who want to help and who can be able to maybe answer some questions or to solve some problems, okay? In addition to that, we also are looking for some directors. We're looking for some people who have managerial capabilities, executive capabilities, people who are in a corporate structure who have the capabilities as being a director for us. We have 5 directors now, and on our executive board, we're looking to place 2 more. And so if they would like to do that, then they can also contact us, and we can work with them to get them into being a director or also being on the advisory board. The advisory board is something that is extremely, extremely important, because the advisory board works every day. I mean, those folks are kind of like where the rubber hits the ground. they pick up the telephone and you don't know what's going to happen when you pick up that telephone. You don't know who's on the other end or what their problem is. And so they have to have a capability of being able to listen and to be able to, at that particular point, kind of sort out what's really going to happen here and can we really help them and that type of a thing. So we need people who have some capabilities that would do that. So yes, Dave, good shot. We need to have volunteers all the way if we could get some. Yeah. And young and old, or excuse me, young and mature and middle-aged folks. We need all ages to help.
Yeah. And if you are interested in volunteering, you would just go down to your offices or call that same number.
Yes. They could call the number. Yes.
And there's also, if they want to go to the website, like Dave just gave the website, there is an area there that they can type in and they want to volunteer. And we have a young lady by the name of Becca Orchard. Mm-hmm. And Becca checks that probably on a daily basis. And she'll get back to them. And she's actually our person who does our training, who takes care of our volunteers, that takes care of the capability of running some of that lower office. And so that would be great.
She responded to my email very quickly. So, yeah, she's
Becca. Oh,
she's on top of it.
Yes. I got to say one thing, Jack. When Dave and I started this, we really did not fathom that SCRC or San Poy Community Resource Center would be what it is today. And I look back, and I don't know if Dave looks back, but we thank our lucky stars that we have the quality of the people that we have that have put this to help put this together. It is outstanding. We have people that we really rely on, and they are outstanding people.
You mentioned one statistic, so 2% of your clients are returning clients, but that would mean to me 98% are new people.
And yeah, right. And it could be a couple of things, Jack. It could be that when we first started with those folks, we had folks that had to have a bathroom redone. It was an mature senior couple, okay, was in a trailer house. It took us probably 6 months to get that completed up by the time we got contractors and people and stuff in there. Now, we didn't do the work, but we helped coordinate that particular work. And so something, that's what we say by those that are returning, okay? Mm-hmm. If we have somebody that comes to us and wants money, we'll help them once, but we're not going to help them again. They have to be able to, at some time or somewhere along the line, be able to start producing for themselves. We're looking to help people and not give them a hand out, but give them a hand up.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you're having success, that only 2% of your clients, if you will, are returning because they're fine on the first try. They're finding the help that they need in some local agency, you know, and if they need, if they have some kind of chronic condition that they need your continuing help with, they're finding it. You're providing it to them on that first try.
Right. And those are kind of special cases. Mm-hmm. We have to make some allowances for those because not everybody is. And yeah, I think the other thing, Jack, is that we cannot solve everybody's problems. There are times when we say, hey, we just can't help you. Do you have a friend? Do you have family that will help you? Do you have a church that will help you or something like that? And we're not a fix-it-all type organization. We help you refer people to people that can help, but sometimes we can't fix all the problems.
Yeah. Well, we are, we're talking with, and why don't you guys repeat your names for those listening, just so I don't mess them up again.
Yeah, this is Dave Peets, and we appreciate the listeners hearing about our resource center, and hopefully we'll come to the September tomorrow afternoon.
There we go.
And I'm Rich Cretall, and I think that if you're downtown and you have a little time and you've got the family with you, do drop by. We're going to have a bunch of fun tomorrow afternoon. And by the way, it's not going to rain.
No, I agree. I don't think it's going to rain. The event is at Farm and Park.
It's from
5 to 8 p.m.
Right.
You guys set up in the park or on the street?
No, we're in the park.
Very nice.
We're in the park. We'll have the park totally fenced in.
Mm-hmm.
And they can check in and they can buy tickets for the raffle.
Mm-hmm.
We've been selling raffle tickets now prior to the event. And then they can also, for $10... they'll come in and then they can get their soup and tasting the soup, the roll, and their dessert. And they get to taste all 13 or 14 soups if they want. And there's going to be cups that you'll get. And you don't have to have the same cup all the way. We'll give you a new cup.
Oh, that's nice.
So that they can have some fun and you're going to be able to taste the soups and then vote and have that. We have live music that from the Comfort Zone. You're going to enjoy that. They do the 50s, 60s, and 70s music.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to just be a fun, fun, fun time.
It sure sounds like it. Well, anything else before we say good morning?
I think that's it, Jack, unless you have something we can help you with.
No, not at this time. All of my problems are going to have to be dealt with by yours truly.
Well, if you have one, you could call 920-1840.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys very much for coming up. I'm going to throw over to a little musical break because it was on this day in 1991. That is 25 years ago that Bryan Adams broke a chart record. He reached 12 weeks at number one on the United Kingdom pop charts. He ended up going for 16 consecutive weeks at number one, which is the longest run in British chart history. This is the week that he broke the record in 1991, 25 years ago today, with this little song right here. This is Everything I Do For You, from his album Waking Up the Neighbors, and also from the soundtrack to Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, featuring Kevin Costner as an unusually American Robin Hood. Here it is. You are listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. We'll be back with an interview with Patricia Walker White from the Panada Theater after this musical break. Thanks for listening to the KRFY Morning Show. For copyright reasons, we can't reproduce protected music on the podcast edition of The Morning Show. But feel free to tune in live at 8 a.m. at 88.5 on your radio dial, or listen anywhere in the world by streaming us through our website, krfy.org. If you listen live, you can hear the full program, including musical breaks. While you're visiting krfy.org, consider tapping that donate button and help keep KRFY providing unique quality radio in North Idaho. Thanks for your support. We now return to the show.
What else is coming up?
We've got
a full schedule, looks like.
We have George Winston on Friday. He's always one of the favorites. He's coming on Friday the 23rd. And then Saturday is a new thing for the Panada to celebrate. It's National Art House Theater Day. And it's a celebration of independent art houses across the nation. And we're going to be taking place, so we're going to have events starting all day long Saturday at 1 o'clock and going throughout the evening. And so we'll have a couple of great winners from the Sandpoint Film Festival. We're going to show Caffeinated, A Balanced Life. I Brought Cake, and the director of that is going to come up for that. And that, I don't know if you remember it from the film festival, from Sandpoint Film Festival, but it cracked me up. I can't wait to see it again. Our own Becky Revac was the director for I'll Take Oliver, and starred Ron Ragone and Miriam Robinson. So that is going to be reshown. And then we're going to show a film of a Broadway musical and a Japanese animated film and some old cartoons. But we get to show at 3:30 and 7:30 specifically A Town Called Panic. And it's animated plastic toys like cowboy and Indian and horses, and they have problems and paper mache towns, and it's just a limited showing only released for Art House Theater Day. So
that's really big. You know, it sounds like a little bit of an overview of what is an art house theater And since we're celebrating Art House Theater Day on Saturday the 24th, starting at 1 p.m.,
yes,
it sounds like you brought just a sampling of what that means. It's not just movies. It's all kinds of things.
Well, and the other thing that we get to brag about here at the Panada is that we remain independent. So those memberships go so we can pick things that appeal to our community. And we try and show a wide variety of films, and we bring in comedians and live concerts and do a lot of different things. And that's what makes us independent. So that means all of our decisions, when Becky and I go to do programming, don't have to be based on dollars. If we had to bring in blockbusters because all the dollars had to pay for the theater, it would be a different feel for our theater. So,
and what allows the Panada, our community theater here, our art house theater, to be independent?
So that is achieved through memberships, through donations, through those things that we have. In November, we're going to have the Golden Era of Hollywood Gala event. And we're going to do that on the 19th and celebrate all the different types of things that have come into the Panada throughout the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, because November's our birthday month. But it's a great way to remind all of us what the Panada has done for our North Idaho community for all these years.
It sounds like also a good time to renew your commitment to having this in our town, and for people who don't know, to find out.
Right. Because that means we get to show some of the foreign films that are part of our global film series. You know, we've had some really great ones this past year, and it's really nice to be able to continue to do that. We just had this film noir series that was out of Denmark. These are just things that aren't necessarily going to bring in top dollars, but they're really important to our community.
What kind of response have you seen in the 2 years, not quite 2 years, that you've been here?
Over two now.
Over two. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What the response of our community to some of the variety of that you've brought in?
You know, every week I'm getting people stopping by saying how grateful they are. There's so much going on, and how grateful they are with the programming. And so, and I take input when they don't think something was good. So we've tried to gear our programming to fit a variety of community people. So the film noir series would be one of them that was a little, you know, drama and darker, and not everybody's cup of tea, but the people who come were just enthralled and they loved it. So it's nice to hit different genres and mm-hmm. different things. And that's a part of what we get to celebrate at that Art House Theater Day, is that, you know, we do get to do all these cool, great projects. And they're celebrating theaters that are just starting this up. It's kind of funny that we've been doing this for all these years and they have new art houses that are coming on board. But that is part of the, you know, the concerts, the ski movies. We're going to be gearing up for Radical Reels. Radical Reels will come up in October 7th. And then we have Warren Miller in November. So, you know, we have a really broad range, and it's nice.
And it's also a place where organizations that might have a fundraiser coming up, yep, maybe in January.
Really? I wonder who that would be.
I don't know, but that there's a place that really meets a bigger venue. I know when we had our concert this spring, our fundraising concert with a Little Smokies, we filled that theater. Yeah. And it was the perfect place for that kind of venue for that kind of music. There's still a place for people to dance, because you can't not dance on with the Little Smokies. But it really meets the community in many, many ways.
And our little theater too. That's another thing that I've worked really hard to expand. And, you know, we remodeled it and revamped it. And I had a little chat the other day with Dave Gunter, and he was telling me how Ted Bowers wanted to start this Idaho Songwriters Circle. And I thought, what a great idea. We, you know, not only just because, you know, he did a lot for our community, but what a great thing for us to do. So we're going to kick off the Songwriter Circle with Blaze and Kelly in October on the 15th in the Little Theater. And so we're looking forward to that. And then we have Sadie Wagner, we've been talking with her about doing a concert, possibly January. We're still kind of firming that up. But, you know, she and her dad, Mike, have some great tunes. In fact, Charlie Packard was a part of that. Mm-hmm. So it's great to celebrate all the artistic talent that happens in North Idaho. I think, you know, I'm never at a loss for great talent up here, whether it's filmmakers, whether it's concerts, you know, there's just some tremendous people up here.
Well, it's one of the things we're actually known for, our artistic offering. I just wanted to back up a little bit to the Blaze and Kelly at the Little Panada.
Yeah.
I just want to remind our listeners here at 88.5 KRFY that on Friday, on the 14th, before the 15th, I will have them live here in the studios of KRFY. And it will be 8 o'clock in the evening, the first hour of the local show that Jack Peterson hosts will be an interview and music live with Blaze and Kelly. So that's going to be super fun. And a little, you know, mini concert.
And she's gone on to do a lot nationwide, but she has a Sandpoint roots. And so that's another great example. So that songwriter circle is something I'm really looking forward to. And some will be in the little theater, some will be in the main theater. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we're gonna take that Ted Bauer suggestion and kick it off,
and have it be individual songwriters or duos, as it is with Blaze and Kelly,
right?
And their awesome harmonies, their sublime harmonies, can't be beat.
They cannot.
That's all I can tell you.
And I know they have a new album that I'm really excited to get in my hands.
So. Yeah, and we'll have them here in the studios on October 14th at 8 p.m. in the evening. Hearing some of that new music, I'm sure.
And then the other great one we have coming up, also highlighting, it will be the a musical in December called Christmas Carol. And it will happen on the stages of the Panada. And it's got tremendous musical. Oh, my goodness, the music to this is just amazing. So the casting is almost complete. There's just a couple of roles left. If somebody's wanting to get their stage experience going again, we'd love to have them be a part of it. But
it sounds like this is a Panada produced.
This is a Panada Playhouse production.
So it's truly a community,
community, and
wow.
So yeah, and then the other little theatrical thing, we're still doing those dinner theaters. So we have another one of those coming up in November, and then we also have a murder mystery coming up in October. If you've ever wondered how the ghost came to be in the balcony, we're going to explore that.
Sounds like you have a full schedule all the way through the end of this year and probably already scheduling into the new year.
Yep.
The Panada, absolutely, our very own, you know, people call it our treasure here in Sandpoint because it really does meet the needs of so many expressions of art and creativity. So yes, thank you for bringing us that picture for the
absolutely
next 3 months.
And, you know, our annual meeting happens next week on the 27th at 6:30 in the main theater. So if you'd like to come down, we are always looking for, you know, more input from the community. And I take that very seriously, that treasured part of our community. So it is, it's all of our Panada. And so I appreciate that. We all participate in keeping it going.
Mm-hmm. Thank you to you and Becky, Patricia Walker-White and Becky Revac, for holding that emotion for us.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you so much. This is 88.5 KRFY. That's listener-supported community radio for North Idaho.
That's right. It is 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. And you are listening to The Morning Show, as she said. Coming up this weekend, if you're looking for something to do, check out Souptember. That's what we were talking about a little earlier in the show. The event supports the Sandpoint Community Resource Center, which you just heard all about. It is from 5 to 7 p.m. at Farman Park. Live auction, raffle items, beer, wine, and soup. You can vote for your favorite soup. There's going to be 13 or 14 there, and it all goes down at Farman Park on Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. You can call 763-3588 for more specific information about the event or to go to sandpointcommunityresource.com. Also going on this weekend, tomorrow, music at the winery, the Pondere Winery, that is, at 301 Cedar Street. The Powers are going to be in town. You might have heard them just the other night here on KRFY. I played a track by the Powers. They're great. Up from Coeur d'Alene, an indie folk and country group. A delightful mix of parts from vocal harmonies with acoustic guitar to banjos fighting with fiddles. 265-8545 is your number if you want to get some more information about what they're going to be up to. Going on tonight, though, going back in time a little bit and talk about tonight, the Rock Creek Alliance annual party is at McDuff's Beer Hall from 5:30 p.m. till 8 p.m. All are invited to enjoy light appetizers, live music provided by Ben and Katie of Harold's IGA, a silent auction with great items, including a Mexico condo vacation, and a signed Bev Doolittle print. Most importantly, an update on the status of the Rock Creek Mine. Come join the party, they ask. Going on tomorrow, the big event in town is going to be George Winston live in concert. He's a pianist who you have certainly heard the works of before. Famous for his activities involving the seasons. I wonder what exactly he's going to play, because it's not winter time, and that's what I'm most familiar with. But he has albums about spring, summer, fall, and winter. And here we are, right on the shoulder of two of them. Going on this weekend, the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness is hosting a hike, an organized hike. You can visit scotchmanpeaks.org to sign up. This is Mary's Mystery Hike, and there's a Public Lands Day project. Go to their website to find out more information. And coming up, as always, the Sandpoint Farmers Market on 3rd Avenue and Oak Street at Farm and Park. From 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. this Saturday, shop for seasonal produce, handcrafted goods, and enjoy live music performed by Mobius Riff. Who's that? We're going to have to find out. Used book sale going on at the Bonner Mall, and also on the 24th this Saturday, 100,000 Poets for Change, presented by Lost Horse Press and the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force. For the fourth year in a row, presenting 100,000 Poets for Change poetry and music open mic for local writers, musicians, artists, and students to express their ideas for positive change in our community, in ourselves, in our country, and in the world. Poets, artists, and musicians around the world are planning individual events to take place simultaneously on this day to promote social, environmental, and political change. I wonder exactly how simultaneous it is. I wonder how we're going to time that. Did they synchronize their watches? Probably. Join Sandpoint poets and musicians as they connect with artists all over the globe to express their aspirations. The Sandpoint event will be held from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. this Saturday at Evans Brothers Coffee. The whole community is welcome to attend. Truck Mills is playing at the Poor Authority on Saturday night from 5 p.m. till 7 p.m. And then it's International Night on Saturday. The Sandpoint High School National Model United Nations class is holding a night full of international flavors as the 15 students who will fly to New York next spring to take part in the National Model UN prevent a fun evening fundraiser with dinner, silent auctions, and talks about the program. You can hear more about the area Model UN, the SHS Model UN, by going to KRFY.org and listening, going to our podcast page. Because I know that they just had an interview on the Tuesday morning show. But I wonder what country they're going to try to be this year. I'm not entirely sure. Anyway, the event starts at 6 p.m. at Columbia Bank Community Room. Tickets are available at the door, or better yet, you can reserve them in advance by calling SHS at 208-263-3045. It's also Ballroom Dance Night, and I'm going to finally check this out. Maybe not maybe not this time, but sometime. It is the Sandpoint chapter of the USA Dance Celebration of National Ballroom Dance Week. You can learn 3 ballroom dances in one night, the foxtrot, the rumba, and swing dance, all taught by a professional instructor. Also included will be general dancing, mixers, refreshments, door prizes, and a drawing to win 1 month of free dance lessons. Singles, couples, and all level of dancers welcome. Call for costs or go to call. The number is 699-0421 or check them out online. Going on out in Priest River, it is the annual the annual Ponderé, head of the Ponderé Regatta, the only regatta in all of the state of Idaho. And that is one I'm going to have to try to check out. That is that's tomorrow morning starting at 8:30 when the rowers will take off in what I imagine will be a exciting race. Probably right down to the wire on that one. I'm guessing there will be bullhorns, people yelling at the crew, stroke, you know, that kind of thing. But then I don't know. I've never been to a regatta. Also going on out in Priest River, right after the regatta, is the annual Oktoberfest. And I wonder if anyone told them that it is actually September still. I guess they'll find out this weekend. And also, there is a sort of a barbecue and boat buy on Friday night. That's from 5 to 8, again, out in Priest River at the Priest River Yacht Club. Something you can check out if you're one of those listeners from the western edge of our listening radius. As of now, we're coming to the end of the KRFY morning show. You can tune in next week for more, including our first week of the Local Decision 2016 series. An interview with U.S. House of Representative James Piotrowski. That's at 8 o'clock in the morning on 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. Also on Tuesday, the Forest Conservation Officer will be in to talk about hunter and hiker safety in the forest during hunting season. That's at 8 o'clock on Tuesday. And I'll be talking with Cameron and Olivia from the Bonner County Historical Society and Museum. Dive into a little history. That's next week on The Morning Show. Right now, stay tuned for Bird Note and then Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long right here on Panhandle Community Radio.